This movie contains some graphic scenes and sensitive subject matter. Viewer discretion is advised. Fred and Nancy pull up in front of Nancy's house. Fred gets out and opens Nancy's door. It's 1 month later. He puts his arm around her and they walk up the sidewalk. Fred opens the door and they walk in. Nancy takes off her sunglasses.
You're a little pumpkin soul.
Oh, Mom. I miss y'all so much for that. I just miss being home.
We're so glad you're home.
Gary, you've been stealing the ice cubes again.
To getting on with life.
Well, I'll drink to that.
Well, so will I.
I'm already drunk.
There's no alcohol in there, Grandma.
Well, I feel something anyway.
Oh, that's right. I'll get it. No, I'll get it.
No, I'll get it. It's my house.
Nancy opens the door.
Nancy, I'm Barbara Kennington. I'm a reporter.
I just got home.
I know. I did try to talk to you at the hospital.
Yeah, I'm with my family.
You know, I'd just like to ask you a few questions about your horrible ordeal.
Look, I really don't want to talk about anything, okay?
Well, we don't have to use your name then.
I don't think you heard me. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, there must be something that you'd like to say about all this. I mean, I think the women of this house...
Barbara walks away and the screen door shuts behind her. Later, Nancy's washing dishes.
I really wish you'd rest and let me finish up.
Mama, you're the one who should rest. No, I can do this, honestly.
No, I'll do it, Mama.
It's all right, Mama. I can do it.
Okay. You know, if you're ready to talk... I think I'm ready to listen. I mean, it'd be better than wondering. Imagine it, what he did to you.
Don't do this to yourself, Mama. It won't change what happened.
It's nighttime and Nancy is lying awake in her bed. She remembers Ellard pushing Charlotte on the trunk of his car. Holding a knife to her throat. Dancing around like a maniac. Holding her head underwater. And stabbing her. A man is grinding out used cigarettes with his boot.
We'll start again.
The man is Ellard. He's sitting in a chair in the middle of a room. A guard stands behind him. A man with glasses sits at a table in front of him.
Mark, can you talk to me? Is there something I'm doing that's making you uncomfortable?
Ellard lights another cigarette.
Do you understand why you're here?
He takes the cigarette out of his mouth and exhales.
Whether I'm capable or incapable of entertaining a criminal intent.
What do you think?
That's why you're here.
Why these two women?
I was on drugs. I was on a bend. Had been for 4 days. I was bent.
What precipitated the bends?
Just a move.
How do you feel? About what you did to these women.
What?
Well, are you sorry? Are you depressed? Are you happy about it? Do you have any negative feelings? Any feelings of guilt?
If I had to do over again, I'd never, ever do nothing. They'd lay me in prison cell for the rest of my life. I got these intense emotional feelings about facing four walls.
My question is one concerning remorse for your victims, not for your circumstances.
My circumstances, Dr. Freud, is a result of one bitch. If one shut up and one bitch, I would have died!
It's nighttime at Nancy's house. Lisa's in bed.
Good night.
Good night, darling.
Nancy turns off the light.
Mama?
Yeah?
Can you leave the light on?
Are you scared, honey?
Are you?
Good night.
Nancy pauses on the landing of the stairs and takes a deep breath. She joins Fred in the living room.
Nancy.
What?
Has it occurred to you that maybe the kids need you to really talk to them?
About what?
About what happened.
The kids are fine, Fred.
Well, then, maybe I need you to talk to me instead of
about
pretending
what?
Like...
What do you want to hear, Fred? All the gory details? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? You want to hear about what it's like to have somebody with a knife at your throat?
Nancy, don't.
Is that what you want to know? You want to know what it's like to have your dress ripped off?
Don't do this.
To have some pig filling his hands all over you? Is that what you want?
Stop
it! Is that
it.
What you want?
Stop it!
I can still smell him. No matter how many showers I take. No matter how hard I scrub. He won't go away.
She walks toward the window.
Do you know that tomorrow is supposed to be Charlotte's wedding day?
He walks over behind her and puts his hand on her shoulders. She turns away. Allard is watching them through the window. He hears the sirens and jumps over a hedge. Police cars stop in front of Nancy's house.
You come with me.
Yes, I can. Take the Chadway.
Come on, hurry up. Quick, Pat.
Nancy.
Oh, come on, kids, please go get your
Mama,
ass. Come
please
on, come
don't
on, come
do
on.
This.
I told you we should have bought a gun.
You're overreacting.
Don't tell me I'm overreacting.
There are police stations all over the place.
There is one car out there, and I'm not going to put my life and the lives of my kids in their hands. I'm sorry, two cops just aren't enough.
But panicking's not going to help. The kids are scared to death. I'm going to stay. I'm not going to leave you.
Oh, kids, I'm sorry.
Mama, it's okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, please. Oh, don't cry, honey.
Allard's attorney is in his office reading a newspaper. He looks up.
What the hell? What are you doing here, boy? How the hell did you get out?
I need some clothes. And I need some cash.
Now, Richard Mark Allard, I have done everything I can to help you, boy, but you just messed up royally. Now, let's just call our buddies down.
Are you nuts, Shipper? some business to take care of.
Now, you're not making any sense here, Mark. That's crazy.
Well, I've got to take care of Nancy Garden one way or the other. She's indestructible, Shiflet. I've tried more than one way to kill her.
They got a case against you either way. But you kill her, and they're gonna fry your butt, boy. And I do not like witnessing executions. Now, if you cooperate with me, I might be able to get the state to cooperate with you, but you gotta give me something to work with here.
Are you saying if I give you something that you can give to the state, that I'll stand a better chance?
Well, that would all depend on what you got to offer now, wouldn't it?
Ellard takes a drag on his cigarette and stares at his attorney.
Come on, let's go.
He puts out his cigarette and grabs some suckers.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Ellard turns around.
Don't worry, Shiflet. You're not my type.
Later, Ellard and his lawyer are in a car. They drive past a sign that reads, Welcome to Georgia, a Dixie Peach. It's light outside when they stop on a rural bridge. They get out and walk through some tall grass. Ellard is eating a sucker and looks back to make sure Shiflet is following him. Ellard squats and Shiflet stops. Next to Ellard is a badly decomposed skull.
God. Now she looks different than I remember.
Who is it?
Shiflet covers his nose with a handkerchief.
Joan Benson. Did her about 6 months ago.
Shiflet vomits.
Now look at that, Shiflet. You got your good shoes all dirty.
Thank you, Detective Warden.
Fred turns to Nancy and the kids.
Ellard turned himself in.
Oh, thank God. Oh, that's great. That's great, Mama. I'm up in bed.
All right, baby. Good night.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, good night, Chad.
Can I sleep with you tonight?
Of course, of course.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Good night, Fred.
Good night, darling. Sweet dreams.
Strange, huh?
What?
That he would turn himself in?
Oh, I'm just glad.
Hey, me too. Oh, I better get going.
Nancy nods.
Fred, thanks a lot.
He smiles and nods.
Good night.
Later, Nancy is at the courthouse with Fred and Detective Warden.
You're gonna be fine.
I got such butterflies in my stomach.
Good, good. That's normal.
I know. I gotta go through with this.
Now remember, the prosecution is on your side. They coached you. Don't let the defense confuse you.
They see Ellard coming down the stairs. He looks at them.
Take a hold. Move it, boy.
Now's your chance, Nancy, to really get even with this guy.
She closes her eyes and nods.
The state calls Nancy Kahn.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you shall give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please be seated.
Ellard is whispering to his attorney. Nancy takes her seat in the witness box.
Your Honor, I'm sorry. I know this is highly irregular, but I've just been informed by my client that he wishes to change his plea.
Objection! Your Honor, please.
Counsel, please sit down. Bailiff, will you please escort the jury to the jury room? Miss Kahn, you can have a seat in the gallery.
Nancy looks around as the judge picks up a piece of paper and writes something down.
Mr. Ellard, I understand you wish to change your plea to a guilty plea. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Well, on the charge of murder of Charlotte Parks, how do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor.
And on the charge of assault on Nancy Kahn with intent to commit murder, how do you plead?
Guilty.
Will both counsels please approach the bench?
Nancy is smiling.
Oh, no.
What's wrong? Isn't that good?
He's trying to avoid the death penalty by keeping you off the stand.
But, I don't get it. What does that mean?
He probably thinks the judge will go easier on him if he doesn't put you through the ordeal of testifying.
Oh, but I want to testify. I mean, I want to tell the jury what he did to Charlotte and me.
I know. It doesn't matter. It's his move. He's trying to appear cooperative. Same reason he showed them where he buried the Benson girl. He thinks it'll gain him leniency with the court.
After discussion, both parties have agreed to waive the pre-sentence report and to waive the hearing for aggravation and mitigation and for me to proceed with sentencing immediately. Richard Mark Ellard.
Ellard and his attorney stand.
You have confessed that you willfully did murder Charlotte Parks and that you did assault Nancy Cullen with intent to commit murder. Therefore, it is the sentence of this court that you serve a life term for the murder of Charlotte Parks and 20 years for the assault with intent to murder Nancy Cullen. You shall be remanded to the custody of the Alabama Department of Corrections. This court is adjourned.
Going to be eligible for parole.
Now, how is that possible? But he got life in prison.
All right, that's it, Ellard. Come on. Come on, son. Let's go.
Life doesn't mean life. I mean, eventually, even lifers come up for parole.
When?
Don't worry. He'll get another life sentence in Georgia for the killing there by the time he's even eligible.
He should not be allowed to live at all.
Barbara approaches Nancy as she leaves the courtroom.
Nancy!
She doesn't want any publicity.
Don't you see how important this is to tell your story? What happened to you could happen to anyone.
Barbara, please.
It could happen again!
I just want to be left alone.
One year later, Ellard is looking out a Department of Corrections bus as it enters Draper Medium Security Prison.
In line. Single file.
A prisoner turns to Ellard.
Ellard, right? I seen your mug on TV. How'd you get moved from maximum into this playground?
Warden like my work.
Ain't that sweet?
Lisa's wearing a gown.
All right. Come on.
Hey, you want your braid to fall out?
No, but I don't want my hair to fall out either.
It's all right. I'm finished.
That's Billy.
Oh, I know.
Mama, where are my shoes? Where are my shoes?
Not yours. I
don't know where
they're upstairs.
Don't let him leave. Get the door.
It's okay.
As Lisa and her grandmother go upstairs, Nancy opens the front door. A teenage boy in a tux is holding a corsage.
Billy, hi.
Hello, Mrs. Carter.
Hi, come on in.
Is Lisa ready?
Yes, she's ready. Come on.
Lisa? Billy's here.
Down in a minute.
Please sit down.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
You look nice.
Thank you.
Excited about the dance?
Yes.
Yes, so is Lisa.
Lisa comes downstairs. Billy and Nancy stand.
Hi.
Lisa and Billy look at each other. Nancy smiles.
I guess we better go. My brother's waiting in the car.
Your brother? I thought your parents were driving you. Well, how old's your brother?
19.
He's 19? Does he drink?
No, ma'am.
Are you sure?
We should go.
I mean, Billy, now you tell your brother. He better have my baby home at 11 o'clock or I'm going to send the police after him, okay? No, I am serious. You tell him that for me, all right? And honey, wipe some of that lipstick off my face.
Lisa glares at her mother.
Goodbye, Grandma.
Good night, sweetheart.
Kids have a good time.
Nancy's mom looks at Nancy with her mouth open.
Don't start with me, Mama.
You have got to put this behind you.
I gotta get ready for Fred.
Every time I try to talk to you, you find something else to do.
It's my problem, Mama.
It's not. It's everybody's problem. You are building a prison, and you're pulling all of us in with you. Until the day you can forgive Ellard. And I mean forgive him completely. Forgive him in your heart.
Forget it, Mama. It's not going to happen. Not until he's dead.
Nancy leaves. At a restaurant.
We are so pleased to have you here this evening.
Cheers. Nancy staring off into space as she holds a menu.
I've been offered another promotion.
She looks up.
New York?
Yeah.
I got a funny feeling of deja vu.
Remember how we used to laugh? God, I miss that. I want you to know that I don't regret a minute of this last year. I'm so glad that I was able to be here for you. I only wish I could have helped you more.
No, but you did. Really, I couldn't have gotten through this without you.
I'll always love you.
You know, I never told you this before. But I was gonna say yes. And then it all changed.
Fred looks sadly at Nancy. Later, Lisa's in bed when Nancy walks in.
So how was the dance? Do your friends like your dress? Bet the music was good.
You humiliated me, Mom.
I know, darling. I know. Sorry. I'm really sorry. I would never do anything to hurt you. Anything. I love you. You're my baby.
I'll get it.
Maybe it's Billy.
It's probably Fred.
Mama. It's for you.
Nancy goes to the phone.
I was going to call you. Fred?
Ellard's at a payphone.
Are you still with her, Nancy? Now that is a pity. That must have been your boy answering the phone, huh? And how's your daughter? She must be getting all grown up and developed. I'll bet she looked just like you. Like mama, like daughter. I'm coming for you, Nancy. For you and your kids.
A police car sits in front of Nancy's home.
Please tell me how in heaven's name the man escaped from maximum security prison.
Well, he wasn't in maximum security. They transferred him out to medium security.
Well, why'd they do that? I mean, the man murdered two women.
4 days ago, he just rolled out the gates in a delivery truck, and no one bothered to inform us.
He knows where we live.
Detective Warden nods. Nancy looks at her kids.
We can't stay here.
Signs read, Hillcrest Motel, air conditioned, welcome, senior discount, free in-house movies, vacancy. It's nighttime. Inside a motel room, Lisa is in the bathroom.
Come on, Lisa, I need to get in there.
What am I supposed to do? Just sit around this dump?
This dump is all we can afford.
Will you guys shut up? I'm trying to read my book.
I'm just so sick of being cooped up in here.
Yeah, well, cheer up. Tomorrow we'll move to another motel and you can be sick of being cooped up there too.
We can't keep moving forever.
Gary picks up a baseball bat and Lisa runs to the bathroom.
Lisa? All right. Who is it?
It's your pizza.
Nancy peeks out.
Okay. Here. Keep the change.
Thanks.
She looks at Gary.
Put that away.
Gary locks the door.
Lisa. Darling.
Lisa's sitting on the bathroom floor. Ellard gets out of a blue car and flips his cigarette butt to the ground. He looks around, walks up to Nancy's house, and opens the screen door. He peers in, takes something out of his pocket, and starts messing with a lock.
Can I help you?
He turns around with a knife in his hand.
How you doing, ma'am?
Duddy turns and runs. Ellard runs to his car, but a trash truck blocks his exit.
No! No, get out! Get out!
He takes off on foot.
I'm not walking you.
Horrible.
Nancy and her family are at a different motel.
And I still don't have any friends because I'm not in one school long enough to make it.
So I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, why can't we stay in one place for a while?
No, it's too dangerous. I'm not going to be scared of the phone. Hello?
Later, Nancy, the kids, and her parents talk to Warden at the police station.
The car we found at your place, he stole in Mississippi. And last night we got a call. He was spotted at the Dollar Motel.
Oh, my God. He's just a day behind us. I don't understand. I mean, we have been so careful. Now, how is it he can find us, but you can't find him?
The guy is slick. They had him cornered in Mississippi. He still got away.
It's just not good enough.
Daddy, I want you to take Mama and the kids, and I want you to go to Aunt Tilly's.
Well, how about you, baby?
Daddy, I have been running for 6 months. I'm not running anymore.
She turns to Warden.
Now, look, I've got a plan. Are you going to help me?
Warden is sitting in a car outside a glass office building. He can see Nancy working at the reception desk inside.
He's left for the day. May I take a message? All right. Okay. All right, fine. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Jordan and Delia.
Warden's partner gets in the car with two hot dogs.
Yeah. Student relish. Now this is how you eat a dog, Yankee. Man, we've been at this a week. You think Eller's on this? I don't know. He's pretty smart.
I hope his plan or it works.
Warden's partner picks up a walkie-talkie.
Hey, Gary. How's it looking?
Same way as looked for the past 6 days.
West side.
All stations clear. Over.
Okay. What's my drink?
What am I, a waitress?
That's what I thought.
I'll be back.
Detective Warden gets out and walks over to a street vendor.
Get one of these.
Sure.
I'm sorry? Will you spell that, please?
Warden's partner spots Ellard dressed as a phone repairman. He grabs the walkie-talkie.
Telephone guy, boys. West side. Telephone guy. West side.
He gets out of the car. Warden sees Ellard and motions to his partner. Through the glass, Nancy can see the detectives running around.
Stay on us. Don't you lose him now.
Nancy stands and looks around.
Look, be careful. I don't want anybody hurt.
Uh-huh.
Nancy takes a deep breath as she sees a telephone repairman standing by the elevators.
Come here, police! Everybody down!
It's not Ellard. Warden sees Ellard approaching Nancy.
Nancy!
She turns around.
Stop! Call police!
Ellard trips and falls, then gets up and runs out of the building. Nancy peers over her desk. Ellard runs down the sidewalk. Warden comes out of a side door and tackles him.
Stop him, detective!
Keep breathing. Stop moving right now!
Nancy walks up and Warden looks at her.
Maybe you should join a force.
Nancy takes a deep breath. Later, a car stops in front of a house. Nancy gets out and hugs her family. She turns to look at Detective Warden, who's standing by the car. He smiles and gives her a thumbs up. 3 years later, graduation caps are being tossed in the air.
All right, squish together. I want to see y'all. Okay?
Come on now.
Say freedom.
Freedom!
Lisa takes a picture of the family with Gary wearing a cap and gown. Later, they're walking down a sidewalk.
I can't believe he's old enough to be graduating high school.
Seems like yesterday I seen the same thing about you.
You know, it's funny about time. Just kind of sneaks up on you. Did I tell you I heard from Fred the other day?
No. How is he? Oh, it's Fred.
He's getting married. Yep. To a widow like me. With two children.
The right man will come along again.
When?
Nancy!
Hi. Oh, gosh.
Remember me? I'm Barbara Cannington.
Listen, congratulations on your son's graduation.
Well, thank you.
I was just wondering if I could ask you a question about Ellard. He came all the way to my son's graduation, asked me about Ellard. Boy, you don't give up, do you?
How do you feel about Ellard's release from prison?
His release? What are you talking about?
The police haven't told you? Ellard's been paroled.
Nancy glares at her. Later, Nancy and Barbara are with Detective Warden.
Damn it, Barbara. I wish you'd get your back straight before you go shooting off your mouth. You're scaring the hell out of her.
Are you saying he wasn't paroled?
He was paroled here in Alabama, but he had another life sentence in Georgia. That's where he killed the Benson girl. Am I correct, Barbara?
Yes.
So when he was paroled here, Georgia picked him up.
Oh, so he's in prison in Georgia.
He's in prison. However,
he takes off his glasses.
The Georgia judge, he made the two sentences concurrent instead of consecutive.
And what does that mean?
It means that the time Ellard served here in Alabama also counts on his Georgia sentence, which means he's now eligible for parole in Georgia.
And if he gets it, he's a free man?
That's right. Parole hearings next month.
Well, when the board hears my story...
Parole hearings are closed, Nancy. That's the law.
I am sick of the law protecting him. Nancy, would you just let me print your story? I mean, just listen to me. If you just go public with this thing, you will get the people of Alabama behind you. And then you could get Ellard's Alabama parole rescinded.
Read your history, Barbara. There hasn't been one case in this state where parole's been rescinded.
There's always a first time.
Look what you're doing. You're asking her to make herself and her family more vulnerable.
Could you be any more vulnerable than you are right now?
Nancy looks at Barbara, then at Detective Warden.
Now, going public means you'll be in the spotlight with me. I mean, it'll be on television, in the papers. Your friends are going to know about it. Ellard's going to know. So I'm not going to do it unless it's okay with you.
Gary looks at his mom.
Okay. It's long overdue, Mama.
He turns to Lisa.
Well, I just have one question. How are you going to stand up and talk in front of all those people?
gosh, you're right.
I know you do, but you do get really nervous.
I remember I came to your class.
I'm outraged that the state of Alabama would parole an escapee who tortured three women and killed two of them. And I call upon the citizens of Alabama to help me in my attempt to rescind the parole of Richard Mark Elder.
Here is what the Alabama Parole Board had to say when they let him go. And I quote, "There is reasonable probability that Richard Mark Elder will live and remain at liberty without violating the law. And his release is compatible with the welfare of society."
We're back with today's guest, Nancy Kahn. You've taken on an incredible task, Nancy. Some would say an impossible task, because the state of Alabama has never rescinded a parole. What do you think your chances are?
Well, you never know what your chances are. I just know I'm not going to stop until Richard Mark Elliott is locked up in a maximum security prison and the key is thrown away forever.
Ellard, playing chess with another prisoner, hears the TV and turns to look.
Look. Believe me, letters affect things.
Yeah.
I want each and every one of you to do what you can to keep Richard Mark Ellard where he belongs.
Yeah!
He belongs behind bars.
Yeah.
You're a true blue celebrity. When I bust out of here, I can say I knew you, Mark.
Ellard glares at him and sweeps the chess pieces off the board. Nancy is speaking at a conference on victims' rights. Her children and Barbara are in the audience.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am proud to announce the formation of VOCAL, Victims of Crime and Leniency. Now, through VOCAL, we are proposing legislation that requires the parole board to notify victims of hearings and opens those hearings to the public, to allow victims to sit at the prosecutor's table during trial, and to compensate victims for personal injury and property loss. The Attorney General has promised his full support of these measures, and he's also promised to use every power of his office to keep Richard Mark Elliott behind bars in the state of Alabama.
Gary and Lisa are smiling proudly. Nancy nods, smiles, and takes a deep breath.
And I don't think I could ever forgive him. Not for what he's done. But hating him just makes me his victim. So I'm fighting back.
She put some flowers on Charlotte's grave.
I'm fighting back, Charlotte. For us.
She gently touches the tombstone, which reads in loving memory of Charlotte Parks. The parole board is filing into a meeting room at Kilby State Prison. A photographer takes some pictures of them. Barbara and other reporters are there. Nancy is with Detective Warden.
There's a lot of people here.
Yeah, I had to get a bigger room. Let them all in. It's the new law now, thanks to you.
They smile at each other. A door opens and Ellard is brought in.
Please come to order.
Nancy, Warden, and Nancy's parents and children stare at Ellard. He stares back. The bailiff pushes him down into a chair.
This hearing is convened for the purpose of determining whether the parole of Richard Mark Ellard from the Alabama Department of Corrections shall be rescinded.
Later, the goateed prisoner is testifying.
And it's your testimony that Mr. Ellard offered to pay you $800 to murder Mrs. Kahn?
Sure did. Said he wanted to save his butt. Because Miss Kahn there could put him in the chair.
He looks at Ellard.
But I told him I wasn't no killer.
Ellard glares at him.
Ward, would like to call Nancy Kahn, please.
Nancy and Ellard look at each other. Later, Nancy is testifying.
Please, continue, Mrs. Kahn.
Well, then he dragged me to the water and tried to drown me. He had this this tight lock on my head, and he kept pushing me down.
She has a flashback.
Well, of course, I was fighting, trying to raise up.
Another flashback.
But then I passed out. My heart must have still been beating because they tell me that that's when he stabbed me twice, just to make sure I was dead.
The board members are listening solemnly.
And then he threw me over the embankment.
There's a flashback of Nancy rolling down an embankment with water spewing from her mouth.
The doctors think that fall is what pushed the water out of my lungs. They said it was a miracle I survived, but I did.
Warden looks at Ellard.
Well, after some time, I came to, and
she shakes her head.
I remember lying there just trying to comprehend what all had happened. I remember the blood and flies all over, and then I remembered Charlotte.
Lisa looks down, and Nancy pours herself some water. The board members are staring at her.
Excuse me. And I was praying silently, oh, please, God, please just give me the strength to just get to the top. Just let me get to the top of the hill. And I made it up there. And that's when I found Charlotte's body. He took my cousin. He took my sight. And for a while,
she looks at the audience.
He took my dignity.
Nancy's parents and Ellard look at her.
The only thing left now for him to take is my life. But if he gets me, he won't get me hiding in a corner. 'Cause I'm gonna be standing up in front of a crowd, fighting for victims.
Ellard's expression doesn't change. Later, the board members come back into the room. Nancy is sitting with Warden and her family.
Order, please. Having weighed the considerable evidence in this matter, it is the decision of this board that the parole of Richard Mark Ellard be rescinded and that he be returned to the Alabama Department of Corrections to serve out the remainder of his sentence. This hearing is dismissed.
Detective Warden pats Nancy's hand. Barbara clasps her hands under her chin and smiles. Nancy hugs her dad.
I'm so proud of you.
It ain't over, Mom.
They turn and look at Ellard.
I ain't over.
Nancy faces him confidently.
I know. 'Cause I'm just getting started.
Ellard is led away.
Through Vocal, significant legislation for victims' rights was enacted in Alabama and served as a model for many other states. A Vocal amendment to the Constitution giving victims of violent crime representation and notification throughout the judicial process, has now been ratified in 13 states. Unfortunately, in 1991, an 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals restored Ellard's Alabama parole, ruling that his constitutional rights had been violated. Ellard was released from the Alabama penal system and returned to prison in Georgia, where he will be eligible for parole in 1996. For Charlotte and for all victims of violent crime, the fight goes on.
Dedicated to the memory of Charlotte Parks and other violent crime victims.